I would certainly love your WhatsApp voice notes on any of these and other related issues. Today, we're going to be very, very busy. We're going to be hopping from one story to another. That's been the kind of day that today has been. And in a media statement as well, SuperSport International said, finally, 2 days after we had put out the fact that they've sold their franchise, but today it was confirmed, and this is me reading directly from that media statement, saying that SuperSport International would like to confirm the sale of the Premier Soccer League club SuperSport United to Siwelele Football Club Pty Limited. Now, following a closed bidding process, Siwelele FC was awarded the rights to purchase the three-time Premiership winners pending approval from the PSL Executive Committee. So this was quoting as well the CEO of SuperSport, Trendani Ramuva, saying that the sale of the club comes as SuperSport makes strategic shifts to allow us to remain the biggest broadcaster in Africa and a leading global competitor. Shifts in the market as well as the need to innovate in accordance with our core business have necessitated focused direction to allow SuperSport to remain the best sports content provider on the continent and a leader in broadcast innovation. So Siwelele FC chairman also, Calvin LeJohn, saying that, and I quote, "As Siwelele FC, we are privileged to have been given the responsibility of continuing with a rich winning tradition in the Premier Soccer League. SuperSport, as well as MultiChoice Group, laid an incredible 30-year platform that we wish to build upon should we get the final vote of approval from the PSL Executive Committee, which looks like it has done right now. And out of respect for the PSL Exec Committee process, Siwelele FC, MultiChoice and SuperSport will not be making any further statements pending the decision of the PSL." All right, so there you have it. As I said, I would love your responses to all of this. That's just one story. And quite ironic as well is that somebody who spent, and he'll correct me, maybe almost 2 decades at SuperSport United in one form or another, is the gentleman that we're going to be chatting to in a second. And that South African football shifting again. I mean, it's a new chapter. It's being written at the foot of the capital. And it's a name that echoes development, resilience, tactical brilliance. And that is why tonight we welcome a man whose coaching journey has been carved through the trenches of youth systems, sharpened in the dugouts of hard-fought battles. And now he steps into the hot seat at AmaTux, the University of Pretoria, has entrusted now their future to a technician, a mentor, a student of the beautiful game. And let's find out what vision he brings into his new appointment and what football identity that he plans to stamp, and whether his appointment signals a new era as well for Tux football. The newly appointed head of coaching of AmaTux, ladies and gentlemen, that's the head coach, Kwanele Kopo. Kwanele, thank you so much for your time. Good evening.
Good evening, Rob, and good evening to your listeners.
It's a congratulations on your appointment. I mean, on the back of the statement that I've just read, you're a former SuperSport man in and out. I mean, your reaction to a sale of an institution?
Yeah, it's been very difficult, Rob, to be honest with you. I spent 21 years at SuperSport United. I think most of my CV and most of my work has come through SuperSport United. So it's been quite an emotional feeling since you broke the news on Monday. And difficult for the colleagues that I left behind at SuperSport United. But I wish everybody strength, you know. I think I saw a post with trophies that SuperSport had won and said an end of an era. But I think SuperSport was more than that, you know. It was not just about the trophies for the first team, but the many lives that the club touched and the many lives that we changed of young players that have gone on to become international stars. So difficult one, but hopefully the staff and the colleagues that are left behind and everybody will be looked after well. And we wish Suwelele FC all the best going forward.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those. You and I spoke about this when we had your interview in studio, and you reflected back on, you know, the emotional time and how things really ended with the football club. And those are wounds that we don't want to open right now. But I think words that we warmly welcome onto the platform there, Kwanele. And as I was saying, congratulations. Now stands an opportunity for you, because now Sundowns, you know, there's no such thing as going to be a Pretoria derby, is there? And so now you carry the hopes and dreams of so many, where your appointment at Amadaksa, no pressure coming from me or anybody else, opens what doors?
Thank you, Rob. Thank you for the congratulations. Yeah, it's a very, very heavy task. I'm truly honored with the opportunity to lead such an institution. Amadaksa is by far the largest professional club in Southern Africa, definitely in South Africa, in terms of membership of players, you know, starting from under seven, right through to the teams that are playing in the amateur leagues, FAP, SAB, InterVarsity League, and women's football. And then you take it to the Motsepe Championship Foundation, you know. So if you remember, Rob, my journey actually started at university. And it's very ironic that at Wits University, yeah. And at the time I joined Wits, it was also at that time the largest professional football club in Southern Africa in terms of the youth section and the membership. So it's quite ironic that 21 years later, I'm reinventing the wheel at Amadaksa to lead the entire program. Obviously, the first responsibility is the senior team that's playing in the Motsepe Championship Foundation. But to oversee the entire program is really an exciting project. And yeah, we look forward to the challenge, but it is a tough one. And hopefully, after a season or two, we can recreate a Tswane derby.
No, absolutely, though, because I was going to ask you, and I know that everybody around Amadaksa, I know Brad Kennett quite well. He's a strict human being, but also somebody who's laid the foundation in terms of building youngsters. What's the instruction to you? Because I deal with instruction. Maybe it's not an instruction, but is it about winning promotion, or is it about laying a long-term foundation?
I think firstly, Rob, let me give thanks also to the CEO of Amadaksa, Kenneth, and the director of Tax Board, Mr. Stephen Ball, and the entire board, you know. The discussions that we've had with TASC, with Amadaksa, are twofold. I think any team that plays in the Motsepe Championship Foundation, there is no doubt that the first objective is to win promotion to the Betway Premiership. That's the prestige prize. So that is the target. That is what we would like to do. Obviously, this year it's going to be a transition year, but we still hold that target, that for every season that we are in, we are aiming for promotion. But we understand that it might not happen in the first year, but in the second and third year, we definitely have to compete for that. You know, Amadaksa was, I think, a couple of years back, with Coach Steve Haupt and Coach Steve Barker, they led Amadaksa to the Premiership, and they did very well. And then they were also producing players in the Bongani Zungus. They attracted the Andile Jalis. And then it went a little bit down. You know, it went a little bit quiet in terms of the development also. So the instruction is to get promotion. The instruction is to strengthen the youth development of the club, to attract the best talents into the program, into the Amadaksa Youth Development Program, to work together with the varsity team, the varsity coaches, to strengthen that aspect also, because the pathway is not only going to be from youth into the professional team, but it's also going to be through via varsity sport. So we want to attract the best players, also the best students. And I think Amadaksa presents the best opportunity to really develop a holistic football player and professional, in that you are offered both the opportunity to play football, but at the same time to advance your studies. And with the facilities and the infrastructure that is there, and the expertise, you know, from the sports scientists, the fitness trainers, nutrition, even the coaches that are there, I've been blown away this week, Rob, with what is there. And I think it is only fair and just for Amadaksa to really work their way back to professional football as the largest club and as one of the famous and strong clubs with a youth program at the moment.
I think everybody that's been exposed, Kwanele, to your brand of football, your style, whether it was adverts, whether when you shipped off to Chipper United, it was there for all to see. And it's the kind of football that South Africans really love and they gather together to watch. Now, drifting into, as the start of the month happened with the transfer window opening, is that something that as Amataks you dip into? I mean, are they reserves for something like that? I mean, are they kind of players that you want to bring in that fit your style to then help shape the entire spine of the team to play around those particular players, or how are you going to manage it?
I think that's one of the reasons that they've brought me into the program. They know very well the type of football that we'd like to play, that we would like to play a possession game, but a highly tactical game. But to pursue the possession style of football, a game that can become attractive to the people, to also have more of the students and have more supporters coming in. But you've got to give credit also to the previous coaches that have been at Amataks, you know, punching above their weight at times to compete in the NFD. But I think there's going to be a transition this season. There's a few players that we are having a look at. I only stepped on the field today, so my first training session was today. But I've assessed the Amataks squad. There's definitely going to be changes in the team. There are players that we're going to let go. I'm having a look at a lot of the players that are in there. There's some very good young players that we will retain. And yes, there's definitely going to be a few players that we're going to be bringing in. So the squad is going to basically be a merge of youth and experience, because we want to continue the pipeline of youth players, you know, in the NFD and generally in football. As I always say, I believe that your objectives have got to be at least twofold, in that you want to work towards promotion, you want to win trophies, you want to gain promotion, but at the same time, you want to produce players, because in the business of football, you make money by selling players, you know? So those are the two targets that we're going to be chasing. And I do believe that with the support structure that is there, from the management, the infrastructure that is there, the youth development program, and everything that is in and around tax, it is a target that is possible. The key is for us to identify the right players and to do the right things in order to achieve the desired goal, which is promotion to the Betway Premiership.
Yeah, just a quick one before I let you go. Madziba Foundation Championship. Watching from a distance, what have you made of it? I mean, Pretoria University finished in 10th position last season with 38 points in 30 games. And there's always talk, it's referees, it's this, it's that. It's got many variables. So maybe you might be in a situation here, Kwanele, where you're not just dealing with football in its purest sense. Tell me a little bit about what your impression is.
Yeah, well, having worked in the league when I was coaching Pretoria Kellys, I think I've said that, you know, the Motsipe Championship Foundation is one of the most difficult leagues to coach in for various reasons. One is logistics, you know, the distances that you get to travel, a lot on the road, more than flying, you know, to go to Venda, to go to Upington. The facilities are not always of the standards of the Betway Premiership. So that's also a challenge. Yes, here and there, you're going to have negative refereeing decisions that happens now and then. But I think from a technical perspective, also the difficulties that drop, because the games are not on TV, you don't really know much about your opponents, you know. So from a preparation perspective, it makes it a little bit more difficult and leads you to focus a lot more on your way of playing and to try and overcome opponents dominantly on that. So you go to some games really blind without knowing, especially the first games now when we're going to start the league, you know, unlike the PSL where some teams will be able to see certain teams in tournaments and all that, you don't get that opportunity in the NFD. So it's a tricky league, and I think this season also it's going to be tougher, because I see that there's quite a number of former PSL or coaches that have worked in the PSL that have come down to this league. So that is also going to make it much, much more competitive. But Amataks, bar probably for maybe last season, Amataks has always been a competitive team in the league. And we have to uphold that and take it to the next level of qualifying in the top three, either winning promotion outright or being in the top three and going to the playoffs.
Sure. All Nedbank Cup, eh? That's always been an Amatux kind of cup. So I'm sure if it's not one, it will be the other. Kwanele Kopa, I wish you everything of the best, man. Good to have you back in football. Looking forward to your journey.
Thank you very much, Rob. And we urge the students and everybody in the Tswane and the surrounding areas to come and support the club in this new journey and take it to the level where it belongs, which is the Betway Premiership.
Thank you so much, Baba. All the best. That's a newly appointed Amatux coach, Kwanele Kopa, joining us right here on hashtag MSW. All right, lots of tributes that are coming through. Diogo Jota, you can comment as well. Kwanele Kopa's appointment, the takeover of Bloemfontein Celtic. Let's hear from you, Bloemfontein Celtic supporters. We'll get a breakdown as well after the break on what all of this means. Who is the new owner? Hey, it's out there. So if you maybe just come out of work and you haven't really seen what's happening on social media, I urge you to head across to my Twitter page, or X as it's called these days, and check it out. Then maybe after that you'll have a comment.
Hashtag MSW live now on 947 Vuma FM, Rise FM and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.
All right, plenty of your voice notes are creeping through. Welcome, if you're just joining us here on the show, hashtag MSW. Voice notes on multiple topics. Also looking at social media, Bongani says that always a pleasure listening to Coach Kwanele Kopa. Such a refreshing and sober mind, and knowing the kind of caliber that he is and also the tactical acumen that he does possess, he'll certainly change on the field, the fortunes of Amatux, and I wish him nothing but success as well. Also, reaction coming through here on voice notes.
Rob, good evening. My name is Westin Sine Walesele in Botshabelo in the Free State. I can relate with the pain that Kwanele is feeling. This is exactly what we felt when the team relocated to Durban. As much as I'm a Celtic supporter, I'm still confused, Rob. You know, now we're hearing lots of stories here at home. So we just wish the parties that are involved in the sale of SuperSport and Sewell FC can come out and clear the air. I just saw the media statement, but I hope someone from Sewell FC can come and clarify the air for us, please. Thank you very much. My name is Westin Musime Walisele, Mobutabelo in the Free State.
Westin Musime, we know you very, very well. And I can say that because even with the original Bloemfontein Celtic, your name was always linked with the team. And you've always waited for this opportunity. So it's only fair for us to reach out. And we certainly are doing that. And as soon as the parties are ready, all the approvals, everything has been done the way that it's supposed to be done. We'll certainly bring those individuals live on the radio.
Good evening, Rob. I've noticed that a certain Mr. Lejon has bought SuperSport United and renamed it Siwelele for the people of Bloemfontein who've been craving football. I know that Marumo Kalantsi has filled in that gap, but now apparently they're bringing back the Siwelele of Bloemfontein. Now, that's where the problem lies. I think the people of Bloemfontein deserves to have their Bloemfontein Celtics and name it Siwelele as a nickname, you know, what we are used to. Now, can you ask Mr. Lejon if you could, Hore? Has he tried to approach Mr. Modise about the naming rights of Bloemfontein Celtics, as Mr. Modise holds the rights for now, as he bought the rights from Ntate Oli, that we don't mention his name? Could you ask, please, Hore Anna, is he going to go that route? Because we cannot be having two Siweleles, people fighting for one franchise, like what happened Kabo, Mr. China Tlongwane back then, Orlando Pirates. Please, can you help us clarify this? Or even if you could call Mr. Lejon, or now the owner, Masokolar, are we going to have our Siwelele back as it is, or what is Halayang? And thank you to Mr. Lejon for buying that team. And I is a Bloemfontein, even though Rona Arduli Bloemfontein, Mare, Remasokolara at heart. Oh, Ki Achi, Momotlakin. Thank you, Barok.
Chi, thank you so much indeed. I have noted all of the concerns. I've noted as well your requests. We're on top of that.
Good evening, Robert Marawa and the shareholders of MSW. All I can say regarding the sale of SuperSport is that board status do not last in the PSL. We all know what happened to Thanda Royal Zulu, what happened to Cape Town City recently, what happened to Royal AM and other teams that bought status. So Celtic or Oswelele will go the same way. Thanks, it's Petros from Epluke.
Petros, thank you so much indeed. I suppose chronicling the past in terms of what has happened to board statuses, I think that has been opened up. You know, it's become a culture. You look at even Wits University, which became Bidvest Wits. You know, Brian Joffe at the center of it all. The money was there. The coaching was there. They were able to win, you know, the league title with Gavin Hunt. So you can imagine how Gavin feels right now. The team that he won back-to-back-to-back league titles is gone. The team that he won the league title with, which is Wits, gave them the first league title after 99 years. Gone. Where does this leave history? Because, you know, people say, what else can they do? And I think everybody that's listened to the show knows that I'm not a big fan of that. I'm not a big fan of losing tradition and history. And that's the same thing I felt when Royal AM was taken. Or maybe let me reverse that. When Bloemfontein Celtic was taken and became Royal AM, I felt for the people of Bloemfontein because at any given time, whatever team came to play in Bloem, they would be outnumbered in terms of the vocal support, the presence on the terraces. You couldn't mess around with Bloemfontein Celtic at all. So when that disappeared, and the status in the same way that Witbank Black Aces, which became Mpumalanga Black Aces, was then taken to Cape Town to become Cape Town City, we can go on and on and on about how diluted history has become as far as football is concerned. I mean, Abramovich can buy Chelsea. He doesn't want to take Chelsea to Russia. He keeps Chelsea where Chelsea belongs. Well, the Americans don't come and buy Man United and take it to, whether it's Washington or LA, they keep it there. The status buying system is different. So what does this mean to South Africans long term? That's the big question.
Good evening, Rob. Mr. Modise is very spiteful. He's unnecessarily creating another Swallows FC, hashtag Morocco Swallows FC, with this whole Bloemfontein Celtic Siwelele. I'm not a Celtic supporter, but Siwelele is the nickname, man. The guy must just, whatever he bought it for, he must charge them maybe an extra 2 million, let that name go, so that we have Bloemfontein Celtics back. Mzoake from Katlego.
Good evening, Mr. Marawa and the Marawa faithful. Robert, I would like to touch that. With the sale of SuperSport, I feel like everywhere in the world, maybe we don't know this news, but everywhere in the world you see teams, you learn about teams. Even the teams you don't know, when you come across them on FIFA, the game, it's a team that you associate and you know. Wherever you see the name, you're like, oh, I know this team. And in South Africa, I just feel like whatever teams we have now, we don't know if they're going to be there. Because every other year, there's a sale of a team or there's a team that falls away and they just never come back. I mean, you think back into the Premier League, some of the teams that are not in the Premier League, you still see their name in the lower league, but they are still there. They're still in existence. But on South African side, they just go missing. Is this something we can change, or is it just an ongoing trend that, you know, when people struggle or there's not money, there's no rebuilding, it's just like, let's sell it, let's cut our losses and we move on. You know, I always just think that it's on our side, you just see teams missing and they just don't exist anymore. That would be just one thing that I always wonder about. And then it's really been an eventful week, to even a point where we are just losing top seeds in Wimbledon. So yeah, that's the story of life, you know. Some things are expected and then just the unexpected happen. Yeah, Cheslin from Boxburg.
Hey, Ches, thank you so much, man. Highly appreciated. I fully agree with you. You know, the whole issue of here today, gone tomorrow. That's been the story. All right, Mobile going to be chatting to him, Ndlovu, because I think he'll break this thing down for us very, very well. He does all the research. I believe in him. And I believe in a lot of what he researches and has done his homework on. But before we head off to the break, though, and that is why I said that tonight, I mean, we pause, we take a moment, and not just for the game, not for the glory, but also for the life of a man whose passion echoed far beyond the final whistle. That's Diego Jota. I mean, a name that carried flair, fire, finesse on the field. But off it, I mean, a soul that was warm, humble, deeply loved. And he wasn't just a player. And we've seen this coming through from many, many credits and tributes that have come through his way. And, oh, I mean, I've been blown away. But it shows the caliber of the man. It really does. It shows it in such a way that somebody that plays football, and you might be supporting an opposition team, it doesn't really matter, but when you lose your life, and you're just 28 years old, and that's why I'm saying that he wasn't just a player. I mean, he was a heartbeat in every jersey that he wore. A dreamer who gave fans something to believe in. I mean, gone far too soon in that tragic car crash that has left a silent football nation and world and cannot be filled ever again. I mean, he played with joy. He lived with heart. And now, I mean, we honor the man, the teammate, the friend. I mean, to his family, his teammates, and to every young fan who idolized his moves, we stand with you tonight.
It is incredibly hard to speak right now without being emotional because I cannot stop thinking about or comprehend the pain of his family and loved ones being forced to process the heart-shattering double loss of Diogo Jota and his brother Andre, his newlywed wife, his three young kids, his parents, cousins, aunts, uncles, friends, teammates, coaches, the staff at Liverpool, Portugal and his former clubs. My thoughts at the moment are all about their unimaginable grief first and foremost, because Diogo was more than a superb finisher and wonderful team player that we watched every week. He was such an amazing human, and to the people I mentioned, he meant the world to them. And he was just 28 at the height of his professional and personal success, winning the league with Liverpool, fittingly number 20 for them, and then the Nations League with Portugal before marrying his long-term sweetheart. So life can be so fragile and just so senseless at times. The Jota I will never forget was so kind, giving off his time and energy, and he was always true to himself, where he came from and his path. You know, at 16, his parents were still having to pay his local club to let him play for them, and it just speaks about the character of Diogo that when he did find success, he went back to start an academy with that club, so kids didn't need to pay to have a shot at making it anymore. He was always like that. He was always ready to help whatever cause there was, whether it was helping the women's game or speaking out about discrimination or sending a message to a supporter who was depressed and needed uplifting. He always found the time to give of himself. One of the analysts at Liverpool told me that Jota's shot maps should be hung in a museum because of how beautifully effective they were. And he really was a joy to watch. He was so loved by Liverpool fans. And the nice thing is, he knew it. And I think amid this tragedy, there is small comfort in that, and in seeing how much he meant to millions around the world, and then in also realizing that he fulfilled his dreams that he never thought were plausible, let alone possible. Forever 20.
Oh man, Forever 20. Thank you so much, Melissa Reddy, author and Premier League senior reporter. I was very close as well to the Liverpool family, having worked there as a media person. I can only imagine that, you know, the first-hand experience that she describes.
From all of us here at Hashtag MSW and 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM and Sowetan Live, sending heartfelt condolences.
We've got some incredibly tragic news, and that is that Liverpool and Portugal forward Diogo Jota has died in a car accident in Spain.
Diogo crucial to the next man to get his moment in the sun.
It's brilliant from Diogo Jota, yes! A moment of quality and a moment of class unlocks the Everton door on Derby Day. It's Diogo Jota ending his own personal goal drought.
Sky Sports News have received confirmation of Jota's death from the Guardia Civil in Zamora, where the accident took place. He was 28 years old.
Well, really proud, I have to say. Obviously, since I arrived 2 years ago, I established myself as an important player in this team. That's what I wanted from the beginning. And now signing a new long-term deal, it's obviously, from the close perspective, a proof of belief in myself as a player.
Jota has been playing in England since 2017 when he joined Wolves from Atletico Madrid, and he joined Liverpool in 2020. Becoming a key player for the side, winning the FA Cup, League Cup, and of course the Premier League last season.
Diogo Jota, the next man to get his moment in the sun.
Yeah, he had 49 caps for Portugal. He was part of that squad that won the Nations League this summer, just not very long ago at all. And even more, making this even more tragic, he was only married last month to the mother of his three children, so he leaves behind a newlywed wife.
Yes, I think Liverpool at the moment one of the best, if not the best. We were close last year for winning a Champions League. It's a thing that all the players want. Hopefully we can give it a good go this year again. But yeah.
It's brilliant from Diogo Jota.
Seven Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.
Yeah, well, I guess he did tell us back then when he came into the studio, Gaetan McKenzie, and we want to know more why he knew so strongly of what was happening behind the scenes. And that's why after months of whispers and denials, there's been lots of speculation. It is now official, guys. SuperSport United sold. You heard it right. I mean, one of the most stable clubs in the PSL era, now entering a brand new chapter in its history. But what does this shift kind of mean, though, for the players, for the technical team, for the fans? And what ripple effects, though, could this send through the entire league structure? And that is why, to help us unpack this blockbuster development, we're joined by one of the sharpest minds in the business, a man who sees beyond the pitch. I mean, he's the cash and sports mastermind, research analyst, advisor, football economist, and Nobile Ndlovu. Welcome to Hashtag MSW.
Rob, good evening. Good to talk to you again.
You expected this?
Did expect it. It's been coming for a while. And I mean, if you listened to all the hints and everything, yeah, you would have seen it. It's been coming for ages. But yes, I expected it. Yeah, I just didn't expect for the name to be what it is. But I guess somebody else already owns the name. So it is what it is.
Are you surprised by who's bought it?
No, not at all. My expectation already was when Royal AM was going through that process that they would buy the status and it would make things easier. But then they would have had the challenge of having to have a club that's already registered. It's easier if you just buy the team outright, because you don't have to carry the baggage of having a team, you know, swapping players and all of that. You just buy the project and you change the name.
Sure. And I mean, it's out there. I played the clip from the Minister of Sports, Arts and Culture, Gaetan McKenzie, when he dropped the hint back then. But little did we know that the person who would then buy it is his biological son.
Yeah, his biological son. But, you know, we'll get into it. But Gaetan McKenzie is not new to Bloemfontein Celtic, and nor are the people connected to him. We'll get into the details, which I spoke about in the video that I'm sure some people have seen. But there's a long history with the McKenzie family and people around him and Bloemfontein Celtic. But let's hear what the minister had to say.
The minister obviously is quite happy because he always said that the people of Bloemfontein deserve to have their team back. Let me backtrack 2 seconds. Let me go back to what I read at the start of the show, which was the official release that came through finally from SuperSport United. I mean, it's taken about 48 hours since, you know, we officially knew that this was going to happen. But they released it. You know, it had nice, sweetheart things to say about wanting SuperSport to be back as the number one broadcaster and provider of content within the African continent and all things to do with broadcasting. But they say nothing about a football club, which they've had for many years while they were seen as the top broadcaster. So what changes then? I mean, how much of that do we even believe?
No, so it makes a lot of sense that SuperSport had wanted to get rid of the team. Because remember, SuperSport United was bought, well, SuperSport United was launched on the back of the purchase of a club called Pretoria City. And essentially, it was supposed to be a marketing push to get SuperSport and their name out there to the greater public and form some brand love around it. It went on for far too long, in my opinion. And now they were stuck as a broadcaster, now actually owning a team. It was always a problematic relationship. And now the French, essentially, for the last 2 years, my understanding is that this status has been for sale for about 2 years, almost three. The French have already been saying for a while, we don't want to own a football club. We're a broadcaster. We don't want to also own, you know, sports teams. That's not our business model. So they were always going to go. What I understand, though, is that the entire SuperSport project is now moving to Bloemfontein, along with Dan Matthews being the CEO and the essential blueprint of youth development and so on, is moving to Bloemfontein. That's the aim, is to try and keep the blueprint and the business model, but build on it with Sewelele FC.
That's an interesting development, though, because if somebody moves along, like you say, a very highly respected and a long-serving CEO like Stan Matthews moves along with the business, then it gives a reassurance that there will be consistency. But the outstanding thing here, Ngobile, is at the bottom of that statement, it still is crying out for PSL approval. But we would have thought that by now, when they confirmed that that's going to be happening, are we at a stage where now we can go to bed tonight and the PSL says they don't approve?
It is possible, but it's very unlikely, given what's already happened. SuperSport saying that they've sold the team, the marks and the colours already being public, which were part of their submissions to the PSL board as part of their requirements for every team, actually, annually. I think it's very unlikely that the PSL would say no, but it is possible, as we saw with what happened, with Royal AM, where they decided that they weren't buying it. So it is possible, but I think here all the conditions have been met for a fair sale, and there are no other, unless there are other extenuating circumstances that we don't know about, I don't see a reason why this doesn't go ahead.
I know of 50 million that's exchanged hands. I don't know about what your sources are saying.
I'm hearing the same. I'm hearing there was an interesting negotiation that started somewhere in the 30s and went up. But yes, I'm hearing the same around that 50 million figure.
Bringing the business part, so that is why Cash and Sport, I love what you do and it makes a lot of sense. And I think a lot of people, maybe at times we don't tell you about how important you are to the dynamic of sport and business here in South Africa. But here I am today with 7 minutes to go before seven, letting you know that. I would also love for you to now infuse the fact that, is this now marking the end of corporate-owned clubs in the PSL?
Thanks for that little shout, Rob. In terms of marking the end of corporate-owned clubs, I think it's very challenging for corporates to own clubs because, you know, you're always going to have a situation. And I think, actually, as controversial as this might seem, it might be a good thing that you let go of the SuperSport name, because people would always attach that to you. And then SuperSport will always have a problem as a broadcaster, will always have a problem of what happens if something happens with our team, it affects our brand image. SuperSport United as a team also has the similar problem. If something happens and the public is feeling a certain way about the broadcaster, it affects the image of the team and vice versa. It's very challenging for corporates to own sports teams because you can't control what happens with a sports team and it affects your brand. I think it's a little bit untenable, which is why it's, for me, I think it's a little bit of a blessing in disguise for everyone involved in SuperSport. You don't have the baggage of being attached to it and you can go out and do your thing under with a fresh start and all of that. Because people, let's not forget, have always asked the question, why is SuperSport a selling club when you've got MultiChoice, which is a multi-billion rand listed entity? Why are they not pumping money into it, et cetera, et cetera? You know, it's always going to be a problem.
Yeah, I suppose it was always going to be a problem because you can imagine within the Premier League in the UK having, you know, Sky Sports United, it provides a problem because on multiple levels here in Mobile, you find that as a broadcaster, the official broadcaster of football, which is then flighted on SuperSport, and then you have a football team that is owned by, you know, SuperSport MultiChoice being in the same league, and then you've got DStv Disky Challenge as well that also comes in to the fold. And just a season ago, there was also the DStv Premiership. So that almost said ownership versus sponsorship. Do you see an effect maybe rippling down to the DDC?
It is possible because, again, you know, MultiChoice stepped in to assist the league when the league was in trouble financially. Let's not forget when APSA decided to walk away, MultiChoice stepped in with DStv and you know, began funding the league to a greater extent. But again, they never wanted to be that exposed to the league. It was convenient because the PSL is the most watched sport on DStv and SuperSport. That's a fact. So they always want to support it and make sure that it's seen and people are and it's available and visible. So that in that respect, it was good for them because you're supporting the product that really brings in the bacon in terms of broadcast income. But at the same time, you're overexposed to one company as the PSL, because what happens if all of a sudden the French take over and they say, no, we're cutting all sponsorship? That, for one, you're already paying 600 million rand annually just to broadcast the PSL. And then you've got the DDC, you know, the SuperSport United, et cetera. It's just too much exposure to one company from the league's perspective, and too much exposure to the league in terms of a MultiChoice perspective. You could even say in some cases it's a little bit of a conflict of interest as pertains to SuperSport United.
But back to the deal, though. I mean, are we looking at something which is a catalyst now for structural reform? I mean, like introducing financial fair play or ownership vetting in the league?
Ownership vetting already exists in the league. I don't think that this changes things all that much. The league has a stance that if you're an interested party and you want to partake in a business venture between two parties, the league won't stop you. That's why we've had all sorts of different people buying football teams in this country. Let's not forget, we had a person who was in front of the PIC inquiry, Masala Mulaudzi, who bought a football club. We've had that club now disappear, which was Fitz, lost 99 years of history. You know, we've had another person in the Nkize family who bought Royal AM. So the league has vetting processes, but generally speaking, if you're a person of good standing, or presumably good standing, and you have money and you make a business decision and somebody else says, yes, we'll sell to you, the league generally won't stop you. There are instances where they can, but that's very extenuating circumstances when you don't meet your end of the bargain, as happened with Ray Moodley and Royal AM. But generally speaking, anyone can buy into the league.
Should fans celebrate this deal, though?
That's a difficult. Well, I guess for those in Bloemfontein, yes. For those in Pretoria, it's difficult because how do you celebrate your team disappearing overnight? It's very difficult. In my opinion, I think it's hard to celebrate because, again, how do you celebrate your team disappearing overnight? There is still the issue of the fact that this team is not called Bloemfontein Celtic. It's Siwelele FC because the name is still owned by somebody else. So that's another hurdle that still needs to be gone, you know, to be jumped over before we can say Bloemfontein Celtic is back. But for all intents and purposes, I guess those in Bloemfontein who want to see Bloemfontein Celtic back, it's one step closer to happening.
Does Botha have a team?
Botha does have a team. I think what's going to happen is that they're going to negotiate for the name of Bloemfontein Celtic, and I wouldn't be surprised if within a few months of the league resuming, the team is actually known as Bloemfontein Celtic, as happened with Swallows FC, if we don't forget, when they had a situation with the name change as well.
Sure. Nobile, I love conversations with you because I know that it can go for a very long time, but you're also a provider of some pretty in-depth info and deals that are going on behind the scenes. In 2 seconds, what's next?
What's next is Bloemfontein Celtic is coming back, in my opinion. And Eddie, the guy who bought the name Bloemfontein Celtic, is going to double his money. But it's another interesting time in PSL football.
Sure. Hey, Nobile, let's leave it there, Baba. I know that this is going to develop. You and I are going to be chatting again soon. Thank you so, so much indeed for joining us. That's Director Cash and Sport Research and Advisory, Nobile Ndlovu, right here on hashtag MSW. Do follow him on social media. Fascinating, in-depth information that he does share with all of you. Thank you so much for all the voice notes. I know there were more than we could play, but you can tune in again tomorrow for Marawa Sports Worldwide.
Hashtag MSW, live now on 947, Vuma FM, Rise FM, and Soweto Live at the same time. Hashtag MSW.